Our guest this morning is Dr. Sadek Esner, the director of the Cancer Early Detection Advanced Research Center at OHSU. Dr. Esner has served in a number of leadership roles in the past, including at the University of California, San Diego, has expertise in bringing together scientists and technology from a bunch of different disciplines. Good morning, Dr. Esner. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good to be with you today.
A question, a little bit earlier before we started the show, we had a short promo on the air where we mentioned that one of the research areas that we're really looking at with cancer right now is to try to catch that first cancer cell instead of chasing treatment of the last one for patients. I guess, first of all, would that be an accurate description of what CDER is trying to accomplish? And more broadly, if you could give us an overview of what the program is all about.
Yes, certainly. It gives a good idea of what we want to do, but of course, the devil is in the details. Right now, it is very difficult to detect that one beginning cell, because we are roughly 100,000 cells away from that. So we have a long way to go until we can detect that one cell. However, there's an even bigger challenge, and the challenge is to be able to differentiate very early when we detect cancer, very early, to differentiate cancers that are going to become lethal versus cancers that will remain indolent and that will never cause the patient to die from cancer. Unfortunately, today, we are not able to do that well, and so we have to treat everybody the same way, and we are causing quality of life reduction in some cases that do not need to be treated. And in some cases where we need to treat very harshly, we cannot do that, and we are essentially under-treating and over-treating the patients at this point in time. So what do we do about that? We need to develop new technologies. We need to develop, collect a lot of data, and we need to build a lot of partnerships because it's very difficult to solve this problem all by ourselves.
As you look at cancer treatment, I keep thinking about the human equation. We can make some pioneering advances in how we detect cancer early and treat that. Human beings, of course, are notorious about ignoring symptoms or going into denial about symptoms. The program that you're working on and trying to develop, does it address that human part of the equation?
At the Knight Cancer Institute, we are looking at that part of the equation that is called cancer prevention. For example, in melanoma, we are trying to teach Oregonians to look at themselves and see melanoma with their own eyes first and then contact doctors. So that's one way. But of course, another way is to try to minimize the human equation in the detection and try to go with screening or also defining people that are at high risk and following those people. So we do all of that.
If you'd like to join our discussion this morning, you can give us a call at 800-838-3760 if you have a question for Dr. Esner, or you can send us an email to our live broadcast, jx@jeffnet.org. I'd like to know a little bit more about the CDER team and how it's unique. As I was reading some of the background materials, I guess people can come forward from a number of different disciplines and propose an idea. Walk us kind of through how that process happens.
Yes, that's something that is close to my heart because we want to make sure that we produce technical results that can be moved very fast, rapidly to the patients to help them. So as we discussed a little bit earlier, cancer is really a very complex problem. It's not one disease, but it's many diseases. From people to people, the cancer is different, and during the course of the disease, in one person, it changes and becomes many diseases as well. So it's a complex problem. What this means is that we need to bring people from different backgrounds, like mathematics, computer science, engineers to develop technologies, and biologists and doctors and oncologists all together. And when you bring people with such diverse backgrounds, they need to be able to talk the same language after a certain period of time, but also they need to learn how to respect each other's ideas. That's why we try to have a organization that's very flat, where anybody, even our graduate students, can come up with ideas. They can then share it with a group of people, and if that group of people believe in that idea, they put a proposal together, and the CEDAW leadership looks at it and then funds it. In that way, even one of my graduate students can put a proposal, can be a project leader, and ask me to be a consultant to his project. So we have we open the ideas to everybody at every level. And that makes it a very unique arrangement. And so far, we have produced roughly 40 projects that are all extremely innovative, coming from all different people at different levels in CEDAR.
I have a question about, I guess, first of all, science in general, and then how you're approaching this cancer research at CEDAR. Is there a tendency for scientists to spend too much time thinking within the box, so to speak? And is that what you're trying to do, thinking outside of the box?
Yes. There are different ways of looking at it. In some cases, a scientist has to go very deep into an area and maybe think a little bit in the box to go to be able to achieve that depth that is required. But in many instances, especially in problems that are so complex, it is very important to be able to think out of the box. And yes, in CEDAR, we try to think out of the box, sometimes blue sky. But when we see an opportunity that is going to help the patients, we like to focus on that very sharply, like in a company in that case, and focus and develop it and provide it to the clinic or to the industry.
The challenge, I guess, for any scientist in any discipline is, of course, data, being able to accurately measure and produce data and then interpret that. Because of this interdisciplinary approach that you have, are there unique challenges to trying to measure new data that would come forth from a project?
Yes, that is probably our biggest challenge. First of all, the way that we describe cancer mathematically, it's a nonlinear time dynamics problem. It changes over time and in a nonlinear fashion. In order to be able to predict its progression, what it's going to do, we need to take what we call longitudinal data, that is data over time. So we like to look, for example, at the blood characteristics of a patient, not only one time, but say every month over a period of time. So that makes it challenging. That means that we need to not only have large number of people participating to our cohorts, such that we can study them, but also we want to have continuity. We want to see the same person many, many times over the course of the study. That makes it very challenging.
We're speaking this morning with Dr. Sadek Esner, who is the director of the CEDAR program at Oregon Health Science University, attempting to measure the earliest stages of cancer and develop new treatments for that. Which brings me to a question about what's cutting edge in science or in cancer research today. In the past, I suppose it was looking at medicines that would be most effective, and of course, that's still important. A lot of scientific disciplines have really benefited from, computational power and changes in technology. Is that the case in cancer research today as well?
Yes, there are different ways of answering this question. For advanced stage cancers, obviously immuno-oncology, immunotherapies are becoming very important, but they are not the solution for large numbers of people. In the case of early detection, one of the cutting-edge area is, as we mentioned, collecting that data and analyzing that data with computational techniques, with artificial intelligence and what we call deep learning. We are capable of looking at, for example, again, fluid biopsies or blood biopsies, looking at the omics data that lies in a patient's blood, and analyzing that over time to predict the progression of the disease. And what we want to do, if we know the progression of the disease, we want to modulate it with therapeutics such that it never becomes an invasive disease and remains isolated and therefore would not cause harm to the patient.
When you bring together team members working from different approaches onto a project, once the idea has been proposed and approved and going forward, are there difficulties, unique difficulties, when you have people that have their own specialties in life, how they might look at things, whether it's genetics or other aspects of biology or, as you mentioned, computer science and technology? Does that create some unique challenges or problems to going forward?
Of course. That's probably one of the critical issues. The way that we solve this is by putting these projects in groups of 6-7 people at maximum and making sure that in each project there are people from different backgrounds. We give them about 6 months to come together and speak the same language with very clear milestones. And then from there on, they start talking the same language, they understand each other's point of view, and they start working really effectively. So that's the strategy that we are following to solve that problem.
On your webpage, it mentions that CDER removes the burden on researchers to perform onerous administrative functions. I had a question about, I guess, paperwork in general, and also connected to that, funding. I know that for so much scientific research, that's always just a deep challenge to try to get enough funding to go forward. And I'm wondering if, do you have, the way this is set up, do you have a good amount of internal funding? Or is this something where you have to go out and try to raise money and get administrative support as well?
We are extremely lucky and thankful to philanthropic funding that we have received. As you know, in 2013, Phil and Penny Knight made a challenge for OHSU to raise $500 million for the $500 million that they would give. We were successful in that, and a large proportion, probably almost all of that proportion, is now being used for early detection. So this allows us to recruit the best and the brightest minds. We have done that. We CDER now has more than 100 people from all over the country and also the world, really, really smart people who are experts in their fields. But although we are using philanthropic funds to fund them, they are also encouraged to go and write proposals to NIH and to government agencies and to international agencies to bring more resources to our research.
If someone writes you a check, you'll accept it graciously. Is that what you're saying?
I suppose, yes.
As long as there aren't any unique stipulations attached to it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. The important thing at OHSU and at the Knight Cancer Institute is that money has to serve the patients.
Right. Are there any current projects that you're working on, or more broadly, some research focus areas that are kind of interesting?
Yes. Of course. We are working in 6 different areas. We are putting cohorts together. We are developing biochip technologies that enable that will enable us to screen larger number of populations with just a 20 or 50 microliters of blood. We are looking at developing biomarkers, finding new biomarkers that will allow us to detect the diseases early. we are trying to learn the biology of early cancer. This is an area that is that was neglected in the past. We don't fully understand how early disease progress, so that requires considerable amount of biological experiments. We are developing model systems to be able to develop therapeutics. For example, recently we have developed a bone marrow on a chip that is very critical for looking at toxicology of early disease treatment, what happens, what is the toxicity, for example. And then we are also looking at the costs advantages of early detection versus late-stage treatments and comparing those. Finally, we are making huge amount of efforts in building partnerships with other institutions, whether industrial or universities.
Do you look for volunteers who are at this point in their life completely healthy, cancer-free, but perhaps they have a history of cancer in their family, unique cancers, or it's very prevalent to be part of some long-term studies?
Yes, indeed. We have a program called HOP that is looking for determining people that are at high risk based on their family history, but also based on their genetic disposition.
And so these people would come forward and just say that they want to participate, or do you reach out to try to find these individuals?
Both ways.
Both ways. So going forward, what's the next big step that you hope CEDAR will accomplish, other than curing cancer permanently?
I think our first step, we already accomplished one that was big, is we created the ACE Alliance together with Canary Center at Stanford and Cancer UK with three universities in the UK, Cambridge, University of Manchester, and University College London, where we are putting some of our resources together essentially to share the data. So that was a big item. And we have announced this a few weeks ago, and we are very hopeful that we are building a critical mass that's necessary for that. The second step, of course, is to work with more industrial partners to build more cohorts, bringing those people that we're talking about that are at high risk and be able to follow them. So these are our two major short-term goals.
As you look ahead and try to determine the things that would be the most beneficial in the future, we talked a little bit about these different components. Is there one thing in particular that would really help send cancer research forward?
There's not one. There are several. That's why the problem is complex. The critical aspect is really to be able to differentiate lethal cancers from indolent ones, as I mentioned earlier. And that requires the analysis of data, algorithms of deep learning to be able to understand the progression of the disease. If we solve that problem, I think we can go a long way.
We have been speaking this morning with Dr. Sadek Esner, who is the director of the CEDAR program at Oregon Health Science University, bringing together teams for some cutting-edge research on how to detect cancer early. Dr. Esner, thank you for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you very much. I appreciate very much the opportunity.